I don't know about you, but there's been times, you know, long time ago, last week. I don't know if you guys do, but I don't play the lottery anymore. No, I don't play the lottery, and because it's not my money. But I came across this article today on the computer, and I just thought it was interesting. You know, everybody thinks money's the answer to everything, and I think it brings more pain and complications than anything. And I think I heard a stat once where most lottery winners end up going bankrupt within a year or two, or within, and their lives are just miserable. I mean, you couldn't go out in public anymore. People calling you all the time, asking you for money, and what a pain, what a pain. So I saw this, and I read it. This gal's name is Jane Park, and she won 1 million British pounds in the Euro Millions lottery in 2013, and she was 17 years old. 1 million pounds. So it says, the first thing Jane Park bought after winning 1 million British pounds in the Euro Millions lottery in 2013 was a Louis Vuitton handbag. Anybody know what that is? You can tell who the millionaires are here. Vuitton. Everybody know, you know who that is? Is that a popular thing? Okay. Then some shoes, of course. Got to match the purse. Then a purple Range Rover. Vikings fan. And then 50 more designer handbags. And then she said, I just went shopping all the time, the Edinburgh native told the Channel 4 Television Corporation. Then something curious happened. Buying things for the sake of buying things got old. Instead of finding happiness via conspicuous consumption, Park uncovered an age-old maxim preached by holy men. Scratch that. Preached by men for thousands of years and ignored by enthusiastic lottery winners for almost as long. Money can't buy happiness. And large amounts of it have a way of complicating things. Park told the Daily Record she blames the lotto bosses for ruining her life. Hey, who bought the ticket? Really? Blames the lotto boss. But that's kind of the way things are going today. Blame everybody else. It's not your fault. I thought it would make it 10 times better, but it's made it 10 times worse, Park told the Sunday People. I wish I had no money most days. I say to myself, my life would be so much easier if I hadn't won. This is kind of interesting. People look at me and think, I wish I had her lifestyle. I wish I had her money, she added. But they don't realize the extent of my stress. I have material things, but apart from that, my life is empty. What is my purpose in life? There you go. One of her biggest challenges is finding a romantic partner who she doesn't suspect of being interested in her because of her wealth. It does get lonely, she told the BBC Scotland. There are times when you don't have anyone to speak to. There's no one there. So there you go. Love of money, root of all evil, empty life, a millionaire, and she's miserable. Just an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Am I on? I am. I'm good. Okay, good. Thought I felt the vibration there. Okay, I'm gonna preface this tonight by telling you a little history behind this message. And you're going to hear a lot of scripture tonight that you've heard many, many times. And the reason being, when we lived in Menominee, we were part of an addictions program, a program called Reformers Unanimous. And we had a family that came through this program and accepted Christ. The husband accepted Christ, the wife accepted Christ, and now they're on deputation to go to the Philippines, and kind of neat. And they just, this man, whenever I talk to him on the phone, it's convicting, because this man studies the Bible. I mean, he studies and studies, and he just, every now he's coming up with new answers all the time. He's coming up with he just loves the Word of God. And he's on either on the road to go to the Philippines, and he's been offered. I think last he talked, I had talked to him, it was 7 churches that have asked him to be their pastor along the way because they've never heard the Bible preached before, or it's been a long time. That's kind of sad. But it really struck me. It really spoke to my heart because I think too many times we get used to being in church. And we see commands in the Bible and we hear verses all the time that we just ignore because we hear them all the time. But we never really take them to heart. So here we're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 verses that everybody probably knows by heart, verse 15 and 16. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We can see that in churches all over America today. Vain, I love the phrases, profane and vain babblings. You see a guy, I just picture a guy up behind the pulpit, blah, 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 babble, 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 you know, just, and everybody's kind of like, but it goes to more ungodliness because there's nothing there. There's nothing behind it. It's empty. That's why it's vain. It's not. It's an emptiness. But let's have a word of prayer. We're going to look at something here. And it spoke to my heart. And if you already know this, then just ignore me and go get a drink of water, and we'll have a good time. All right? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the depth of it. Lord, I thank you for a Bible that never gets old. It never runs out of information. It's a living word. And Lord, that we have an opportunity to look into it and study it every day and get something new. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you so much. In your name, amen. All right, the word study. The definition is a setting of the mind or thoughts upon a subject for the purpose of learning what is not before known. And that... what's really interesting about this is I think a lot of us, we come to church and we just expect the pastor to give us everything we need. And there's churches all over this town that do exactly the same thing. People that come to church, they don't bring their Bibles. They expect the pastor to do all the work for them. And if we look at this, well, I'm going to get right into it. I guess point one is this is a personal command. Study to show thyself approved unto God. It doesn't say, pastor, study so your people know the Bible better. And, you know, we've turned into a bunch of Baptaholics. We come to church and we expect to get everything from the guy behind the pulpit and then go out and live like however we want to live. But this is we're supposed to take this book and study it for ourselves. That's what it says. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Where we get stuck in a rut. We just come here, and when I talked to my friend the last time, I got under such conviction because it was starting, that's the way I was becoming. Sure, I read the Bible in the morning. I pray in the morning, most mornings, but that's just reading. You know, if you ever found yourself reading, you know, you got your yearly read through the Bible thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But too many times, I think you get into chapter 2 here and you're like, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace." Well, that's good. I should underline that, but I got to get through my 2 chapters. Instead of taking the time to stop. And realize that God might be speaking to you right there. Maybe that's all you need to hear is that in that verse. And maybe to take the time and to underline or write some things down and just start looking up some cross-references or get out your concordance. Well, I only got 10 minutes to read the Bible. Well, hey, maybe you should get up a little earlier. Or stay up a little later. Put in a little effort. this is more important than anything else you're going to do during the day. It really is. This is going to help you get through the day. You know, that I heard a pastor say once, so he got up to preach and he said, what I'm about to do right now is more important than anything the president is going to do or sign today. This is the Word of God. This affects eternity. This affects our life forever. And so many times we fail to realize what we have. We're spoiled rotten. We have the Word of God right in our laps. We have a letter from God Almighty. And all He says is, hey, study it. To show yourself approved. It's a personal command to you and I. It doesn't say to men. It doesn't say to the boys and girls. It doesn't say to ladies. It says study to show thyself. You, as an individual, it's our responsibility. We need to make it personal. Pastor Stevens, I don't think maybe twice, two or three times since I've been coming to this church, I've heard him preach the same message. I've heard him use the same comments on certain subjects, you know, a few times. But I haven't heard him preach the same message, but maybe two or three times. That's a man who studies the Bible. He's always looking for something new for you. But that's our pastor. What a great man. But this verse isn't to say study pastors. It's not for him to do it for us. We can't depend upon him to get it done. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Like I said, these are verses we've all heard many times, and perhaps we're taking it too lightly. We're not looking at the content of these verses very thoroughly for our own selves and applying it to our lives. Acts 17:10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Sorry about that. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word that, with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So you get up, pastor gets up, preaches a message, you just take it and go home. You take what he says for, you know, as it's right. More every time he gets up here, he does it. Scripture with Scripture, and that's good. That's right. That's perfectly fine. That's what he's supposed to do. And 99.99% of the time, he's right. Are you saying our pastor's wrong? Hey, search it out. Search the Scriptures. Study. Find out for yourself. Maybe there's something you find that he hasn't seen. And he would love to hear it. Share it with them. Any Christian that's worth his salt is looking to grow more in the Lord every day. And you get something new in the Bible and you look through the Scripture that pastor preached and say, hey, wow, here's something else. And share it with pastor. He loves that stuff. He loves to study. He loves to read. He's just into it. And we're pretty spoiled here. But we can't take it for granted that we have this great church. We got to study the Word of God. We're going to stand, the Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God. Can you imagine the day that, with the inauguration day, and Trump walks through the door and sees these millions of people? And he's just like, oh, I got to lead these people. Can you imagine the overwhelming feeling he had when he walked out? I can't. But can you imagine walking into the throne room of God, a holy, perfect, pure God on Judgment Day? Walking in before the throne room of Jesus Christ all by yourself. Just going, oh, wow, probably wet your pants, right? You'd be scared to death, knees knocking, everything. Your mouth goes dry like mine is right now. And you just said like, you know, are you ready? Have you studied for it? Hey, studying is for a test. It could be daily. It could be your life. It could be anything. It could be standing before Him and saying, what does my Bible say about this? Oh boy. Let's see, what did pastor say? No, not what your pastor said. What did you find when you studied out the Bible? Oh boy. That's going to be an amazing day. Everybody's excited for the trumpet to sound, and I am too. I can't wait to get out of here. I had a bad day at work today. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm ready to go home. But then we're going to stand before God one day and stand before a holy God at a judgment seat. And just like, well, I'm not ready for this. I am not ready for this. Study to show thyself approved. It's a personal command. Second of all, it's a purposeful command. Let's turn back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we were. There again, study to show thyself approved. That's the testing unto God. There's a purpose behind it. So you're ready for the test. You're ready to face anything that God throws at you. You know, He's not going to test you above that you're able. He's not going to tempt you above that you're able. You got to be ready for these things. And He's like, okay, what did you learn? Are you ready for it? Do you have an answer for everything He's going to throw at you? He's got the answers written down for us. And if we study His Word like He says we're supposed to, we're going to know these answers. He's given us the answers for the test. Wouldn't you have liked to have that in school? You know, but most of us, that we had the answers, we had textbooks, but we didn't want to study it. We didn't want to look up the answers, you know, we didn't want to do the homework, do the assignments. Really, I'll remember it when the test comes. Yeah, blank, you know, and you get out, it just totally bombed the test. So you to show yourself approved unto God. That's something that really needs to soak in. Who we're going to stand before. I already mentioned a little bit about it. We can't even sit here and think in our wildest imaginations what God is like. Being in front of God Himself and being judged from this book. Also in verse 15, it says, needeth not to be ashamed. So you don't have to stand there that day and just hang your head. Well, I wish I'd have done more. Boy, we were over in Romania handing out those John Romans, and some of you have been on those courier's trips, and you hand a Bible at the end of the meeting, at the end of the 2 weeks or the week, and you hand a Bible to somebody, and they just take it and hug it. They never even had a Bible before. And they just start crying and weeping because they never even had a Bible. And here we got four or five of them at home sitting on the shelf. Some of them use them as coasters. You know, some you just... It's just there. It's falling apart. Oh, I had that Bible when I was this age. I had that Bible when I was this age. I got this Bible. And they're all just dusty sitting there. And we just take it for granted. And we don't realize what we have. We don't. This is a purposeful thing. He says to study. And He says it because it's purposeful. And it's because we won't be ashamed when we stand before Him one day. Yeah, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be raptured out of here. But when that trumpet sounds, are you going to hang your head and say, man, oh, I have so much more to do. Could you just wait a little bit longer? Like the clouds are going to close back up, and He's going to go away. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a couple pages back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I noticed this the other day, and it just kind of stuck out to me. This is what I got out of it. You may get something else out of it. That's fine. But mine's right. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing. Lack of nothing. You study to be quiet. Do you ever wonder what that means? Boy, I struggled with that one this week. I was like, study to be quiet. You ever notice the people that know something aren't always yapping about it? If somebody knows something, if they understand something or they know a subject, they just sit there and just kind of mind their own business. I notice at work, you got some guys that you got some of the inmates are like 21 years old and they've done everything. They've done everything, seen everything. They've beat everybody up. They've done it all, and they're 21. But here's a guy over here on the other side of the dorm. He's probably about 45, 50 years old, and he has done everything. He's got scars. And every time, you get the young guys who think they know everything yipping and yapping around the old guys, and pretty soon the old guy gets up and just, boom, and that's it. You know, and then it shuts the guy up. The guy that knows everything and has done everything but somebody has studied their Bible, it's not for getting into an argument. It's not. It's not to sit here and just, you just spitting at each other, getting in it. It's just sit there going, you know what? You're wrong. Because people that have the truth and study the Bible have a peace, knowing that what they know and what they've studied is right. You can just stand there and somebody can say, you're wrong, you're just, and you just sit there going, no, I'm not. Yeah, you might get, your ire might get up because the guy just won't go away. It's like a gnat. So you wish you had a big fly swatter. It's like, oh, poof, get out of here, Please leave me alone. Shoo. Big can of, shh. Get away from me. But you just have to stand there and just say, here's a good example. All right, maybe for me, I thought it was good. Pastor, there's a differing doctrines, okay? This pastor I talked to, he had some guys come to his church from a different school that teaches a little different than him, come to his church trying to prove him wrong. Oh, you're wrong. Blah, blah, blah. They're getting all over and getting his face. He said, well, here, let me show you. Just calmly, quietly took his Bible and said, well, look at this scripture. Well, look over here, look at this Bible, or look at this scripture. Oh, and here's another verse right back here. Look at this. And before you knew it, they just left in a huff. Never raised his voice, never got in a conflict, never got in an argument. He just showed them what the scripture said. And they went away. Study to be quiet. Quiet people just have a knowledge of things. Just stick around. To do your own business, to have answers. We've heard that. People come up and ask you questions on the street or knocking doors where you're street preaching or trying to confront you and get you off kilter and confuse you. To me, that makes me go home and study more about what they're talking about. So I have a little bit more knowledge next time somebody comes up. I try not to get all bent out of shape. Oh, yeah? You just sit there and go, you know what? I don't know about that. Study to be quiet. But then also to do your own business, to have the answers for people. You don't have to call up the pastor every time. You have somebody asked me this question. What's the answer? Hey, study it out. Learn it for yourself. Study to show thyself approved. That way people, not only will they start not coming to you to start a conflict, but they'll come to you for answers. You realize, wow, this guy has an answer for everything from the Bible. You can't argue with that. It's truth. You can't get away with it. Also, it says in that verse 11 back in 1 Thessalonians, it says, to work with your own hands. I know... my dad, he was a machinist. We lived up in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. He was a machinist. And when he got in there, you guys, a lot of you work with it. A lot of foul mouth, you walk in, the place was just black, it was dark, it was just, the language was hideous, and you got to put up with that. I mean, if you're going to, you work in a workaday world, that's, you're going to hear that. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So he came in, he started working his job, and they had the rock music playing, and he'd go over and turn the radio off. And they'd come back and turn it on. So then he went and got a radio of his own and put it on the Christian station and started playing Christian music. And they'd go turn their volume up. He'd turn his up. They'd turn it up more. He'd go turn his up more. And then eventually the boss came out and said, "Hey, what's going on here?" And the boss took a liking to my dad. My dad just came to work, did his job, and did it right, and went home. These guys, he'd ask them to do a job, and they just give him grief. Just give him grief all the time. So he kind of liked my dad. And my dad said, "Well, I don't appreciate the music. I don't appreciate the music, so I got my own." He said, "Well, let's just get rid of all of it." Dad said, "Fine with me." So they got rid of both radios. They had pictures hanging in the bathroom. He went down and took them down. He said, "I just don't want to look at that stuff. I don't need that. You know, we have hard enough time the way it is, seeing things and can't get them out of our mind the way it is. Why do I need more stuff piled in there that I don't want to hear about and think about?" So he said, "I just wish you'd take the pictures down." And they eventually took the pictures down. And eventually people started coming to him because he'd come to work every day, you know, smiling, enjoyed his job, had a good time, did his work. They'd come to him for all these meticulous things. And they saw that he worked with his own hands, and he had a good testimony, never swore, never did anything wrong, what they saw. And eventually they started coming to him, asking him questions. Why are you like this? Why do you do these things? And it just, to work with your own hands, to study, to have answers for people when they ask. What is so different? Now, we just had one of our officers at work pass away, 50 years old. They found him in his house. He was dead. They don't know what happened. But to sit and have... They went to his viewing, and they had him in the casket, and they had a crucifix in the casket right above his head. And there's a crucifix with Christ on the cross. And I pictured that. I'm just like... It's just like Christ is saying, "I'd help you if I could, but I can't get down. They got me nailed up here. They don't want me interfering with their business. Hey, you just stay up there. We're going to do things our way." And I'm just like, that's the answer is like a foot from your face. And I'm looking around me, and all these people are saying, "Oh, what a great man, what a great man." But if he didn't have Christ in his heart, he's in a world of hurt right now. He's burning in hell. And it really struck me because I'd talked to him one time about the Lord. One time. I had the answers. Studying for telling somebody about the Lord doesn't take a lot. We hear it all the time. It's a purposeful command. The words that we study in this book, they're going to judge us one day. It says in John chapter 12, verse 48, these words are working to judge us one day. And then John 14, 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How are you going to keep them if you don't know what they are? How are you going to keep them if you don't study them out or understand what they say, or where are they in the Bible? Are you going to come to church and depend on pastor to tell you all the commandments? That would take a few sermons. What is there, like 3,000 commandments in the Bible? We'd be here for a while. No, it's a personal command. It's something we're supposed to take on ourselves. It's also a purposeful command. There's a reason for the studying. Not only to stand before Him unashamed, but so we can work with our own hands and tell others about Christ. Third, I got down, it's a pointed command. What are we to study? It says in verse 15 in 2 Timothy 2, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. It can't be just any book. Now the studying, you can look at this study to show thyself approved, and you can look at that and say, well, it's the Word of God. But I take it differently. It's not only the Word of God. Yes, you study the Word of God because it's the Word of truth, but you also study people around you. There's a lot of things going on in this world today. You got a lot of people saying, "Well, I'm a Christian. I am saved." And they're living no different than the guy who doesn't even claim Christ as a Savior. Why is he like that? Why is he doing that? Why is he giving Christ a bad name? Study that out. Figure out what, okay, he goes to a different church. What do they teach over there? Look at their website. Look at their Bible they use. That's probably your answer right there. But he says, study to show thyself approved, because it's appointed command, the word of truth. It has to be the word of God. It has to be. Or it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. You'd be wasting your time studying if it's not the word of God. The word of truth. The words that Christ spoke. The words that God spoke. The word of truth. You're wasting your time if it's not. It says, shun profane and vain babblings. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of intelligent people out there, and they look down on you because, oh, you never went to college. You know, no, I didn't. But I got some common sense. You know, I'm not taking a professor's word for it. I'm not taking some, you know, guy with 30 degrees behind his name's word for it. He's smart. It's like listening to sports radio out there. I was just talking to a guy about this today, like an NFL game. You got 3 hours before of people saying, well, I think, well, maybe if this, well, maybe if that. And they have no idea. I can run a ball down a field. That's about all you know for sure. That's it. You don't know what's going to happen in a game. You don't know who's going to get injured. You don't know what that injury is going to do. You don't know how this team's going to do. You have no idea. But people are just sitting there going, yeah, whoa, yeah, that's right. I never thought of that. Wow. Really? Come on. They don't have a clue. Like, football's the answer to everything, you know, or any sports. Just listen to sports radio. It's the same for every sport. I think, I might, it may be. You know, it's nothing for sure. Nothing at all. Science, falsely so called. I think, I might, I think, maybe, possibly, if this, if that. Nothing factual. Nothing at all. We have a word of God here that's pure, and it's proven itself throughout history. It never makes mistakes. It knows everything. It knows how we act. It knows what are the results of how we act. It knows everything. It's never been proven wrong. So it's shun profane and vain babblings. Yeah, they may be very intelligent or very well spoken, but they're just, you know, give you a good in. This kind of goes back to study to be quiet. I got a friend of mine. You ever know somebody that really knows how to, they just know how to talk. They have a way with words. And my friend, he loves the Lord and he loves going door knocking. And I was out door knocking with him. He walks up to the door and he just knocks on the door, and lady comes to the door and he goes, yeah, we're just out in the neighborhood here handing out some tracts and gospel tracts. And he said, and he goes, we're not Jehovah's Witness or Mormons. And she goes, oh, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Well, Zaria, you know, and he just went with it. You know, me, I'm just like, ugh, you know. But he was just like, oh, really, you know. And no lie, after a half an hour of him talking to her, she was laughing at her own beliefs. Just amazing. He had the answer. He didn't never raise his voice, never got into an argument, never yelled, never screamed at her or anything. He had the word of truth. He knew how to talk. And he studies the Bible. In fact, one time her husband came storming out the door. Oh, yeah, what about the 144,000? What do you got to say about that, huh? You know, and he was just like all ready to go at it. And he goes, oh, yeah, the 144,000. He goes, they're male, they're Jews, and they're virgins. And the guy goes, and walked back in. He didn't say a word. He just boom, just knocked him right over. like the haymaker, and didn't even have, and all it was words. And that's what vain and profane babblings. There's a lot of, that's what religions are based on, vain and profane babblings. Well, enough, the Word of God, you know, it's true and it's the Word of God and all that, but I'm going to write my own book. You know, Book of Mormon. Yeah, there we go. New World Translation, yeah. Take out that verse, cut that out, paste mine in there. There, now it says what I want it to say. Now it lines up with what I believe. Wow, my Bible would be about that thin. Hey, if you don't have the truth, why even try to live it? Just go out and have a fun time. Let her fly. Who cares? If we don't have truth, we have nothing. It's just whatever you think is right. And that's what's going on in the world. They think, the world thinks that love is the answer. No, it's never going to happen. Because, you know, say you got a homosexual guy where he loves his perversion, he loves living the way he lives, and he thinks he's right and everything. And then you got a guy over here who he loves his lifestyle and he thinks they're wrong. There's going to be friction there. There's going to be fighting. There's going to be disputes. There's going to be conflicts. Love is not the answer. Christ, what Christ did for us is the answer. He loved it. God sent his only son to die on the cross. For God so loved the world, nobody in this world can express love like that. There's not a person in here tonight who loves everybody. I guarantee it. There's no way you could. You don't think like I do. That's probably a good thing. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, I see it all the time. You know, it's me. You know, it's got to be right. If we know His Word, we will be able to tell when something doesn't sound right. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. We know His Word. We study it out. We're going to be able to tell when something's wrong. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. An ear seeking. You would think that'd be the eye, right? But you could stand around and you can go out and some of you have been out on the corner street preaching, and somebody else on the other corner street preaching. They're preaching something. And your ear, if you study the Word of God and you read the Bible and you take an interest in this letter that God has given us and you just soak it in and you're starting to read it and just kind of, you know, bathe yourself in it, for lack of better terms, you're going to be hearing what somebody says and your ear is going to hear it and know if it's right or not. It's seeking out. You ever see cats? Their ear, you know, they hear sounds and their ears turn to that sound. I mean, your ears aren't going to do that, you know. Whoa, hey, that's right. Whoa, that's good. It's not going to be like that, but you're going to hear something. You go visit a family member that in another state or somewhere else that goes to a different church than you do, and you get in their church of service and the pastor gets up and he says, well, a better rendering would be, and you're like, that's not good. That he thinks he knows more than God. Your ear, you're seeking, your ears are seeking. It's like, whoa, that's not right. Somebody quotes a verse from a different version. Whoa, that didn't sound quite right, did it? Well, he left something out there. Something's missing. I just love the way the Bible put things. It's just awesome. Your ear is seeking. Okay. So you got personal. It's to study the Word of God. It's a personal command. It's something, some place where we drop the ball. We do. I drop the ball because I don't study like I should. We get so busy with our personal lives that we don't find time for God. We'll spend an hour and a half watching TV and 5 minutes reading our Bible. That's a shame. That's sad. I mean, I admit, I'll get wrapped up in watching a game on TV, and 2 hours later I'm sitting there and go, okay, what was that all worth? what did I do? What did I do? I just sat here for 2 hours doing absolutely nothing. Like, hey, give me some chips while you're up. You know, it's a personal command. There's nothing on TV that's truth, unless it's good preaching. There's nothing on TV that's true and real and lasting like the Word of God is. Nothing. It's a purposeful command. There's a reason why we study, to stand before God one day and give an account. Let that soak in. When you have a moment this week, a quiet time to yourself, I know those are rare, but if you have a quiet time, think about that once this week, standing before God Himself, giving an account of your life and what the Bible says. What have you done with my word? It's overwhelming. It really is. It's a pointed command. What are we to study? The word of truth. Stay away from all that junk out there. You know, sometimes it's, you know, like, you know, that thing about the lottery and everything, that's things like that. That's just, it's sometimes it's probably not a bad idea to read some of the junk and just know what's out there. But don't get caught up in it. Be careful. Lastly, it's a problematic command. Turn back to 2 Timothy, unless you're already there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's work. It's not easy to sit down and, you know, you get, like I said before, when you get into a rut of reading chapters in the Bible, right? Well, you got these two chapters, I got to get through it. It's on my schedule. I just got to do it. It's really hard to train your mind to come back and just say, no, I'm going to stop at this verse because there's something there I need to find. There's something there that's talking to me. There's something there that's speaking to me, and I need to find out what it is. No, I got to read the two chapters. No, I got to read that. I got to get that verse. I got to get. It's work. It's not hard. And then to start looking up Scripture, it's so hard to go, No, it's work. He said it's not easy. It's work, but a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You got to put in the effort. You do. You got to put in the effort. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I got the right one? Yep. Ecclesiastes 12:12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. You know, I never appreciated what Pastor did up here. Every Sunday I'm like, oh wow, 4 sermons a week, that's all he's got to do? Really? Come on. And then you get up here and you're like, hey, will you fill in for me? Well, that shouldn't be too hard. And then you start thinking about it. These people have been here for 20, 25 years hearing this guy preach, and I'm going to come up with something new? Really? And you start looking in the Bible and you're like, oh, where am I going to start? There's a lot of verses in here. I've sat at my desk for 2-3 hours at a time, and I get done and I have a bunch of crumpled up papers. Like, what am I going to do? And then you get up here and you're like, oh, they're all looking at me and they're all expecting something. And it's just, and after a while, the first time I preached for Pastor and filled in for him, I got done, I was just like, whoa. I was wore out. I went home and just went, you know. I was wore out, physically, mentally wore out. And all I do is stand here and talk. But it's work. The problem here is that nobody really knows how to work anymore. I give my kids a hassle sometimes because they use calculators in math. I never did. I never went to class, but but no, I had to, you had to sit there and use your mind and use your brain and not just sit there and go, oh, what's the answer? Oh, okay. Now it's like, oh, what's the answer to that question? Oh, okay. Never really looking it up and studying it out. Let me challenge you, apart from using a concordance on the computer, to study something in the Bible and look up the scripture and page through and find cross references, writing things down, and then looking at them and saying, how do these go together? How's this? You're probably wondering where I get my stuff. How did he put that together? That makes absolutely no sense at all. But it's work. It's a weariness of the flesh. You go to work it's just like, you know, work itself, going to work, and you sit there all day, and you may not do a laborious job physically, but to sit there and have your mind subjected to all those stupid conversations in the break room, all the comments being made in the corner, all the things on billboards on the way to work, and you get home and you're mentally fried. It's like, oh. It's just like you got to take a shower. You're just like you've been bathing in sewage all day. It's work. Work. It wears you out. And he's saying studying the Bible, a study is a weariness of the flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. I've learned to take my phone and put it on the other side of the room. Because I'll be sitting there looking and studying. And I'm like, oh, man, this is getting old. Oh, hey. Angry Birds. That's easy. I don't even have to think. It's a weariness of the flesh. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Wow. That's work. You think about you. If somebody were to tell you on the other side of this parking lot, right in the center, or right on the other side of this parking lot within a 20-foot span, somebody buried a mason jar full of $100 bills. How many of you would be out there with a shovel just digging until your heart's content, until you found that jar? I mean, you'd be out there all day sweating, just toiling, because there's something there at the end. It's like, when I get to the end, a jar full of $100 bills, what I can do with that? How much is going to be in that jar? How many bills can I pay off? How many nut goodies can I buy? How many things can I, what can I do with this money? How much treasure do we have in this book? And we're just letting it sit on the shelf because it's too much work. I don't have enough time. It's a weariness of my flesh. But to dig through and find a truth and search it out to the end and dig in the Bible, and God's saying, go, get it, go, go, go. I got something great at the end for this. And you get to the end and you're like, wow. Whoa, that's great. That's awesome. That is so cool. I can't wait to share this with somebody. How many of us look at reading the Bible as digging for treasure? How many of us would put in the effort of going out and digging for real treasure if we knew it was there, but here we got it, right in our own hands? If we search for it, what does it say there? Searches for her as for hid treasures. To dig in the Bible and study and read it, it's not the pastor's job. He does it for us because that's what he's called to do, and he gives us many good things every Sunday and every Wednesday to take home and live and study for ourselves and make our lives better for Christ. But Our job, it says, study to show thyself approved. It's our own, it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. One last verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is kind of interesting. I read this verse and I'm like, this might be a stretch. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Could that apply to reading the Bible? If you're not going to put in the work, are you going to get anything out of it? Are you going to be able to eat the manna, the bread of life? Yeah, we say if any man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's right. We sit here, yeah, man, all these people on welfare, blah, 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 blah. What about the reading the Word of God? What about working at studying the Bible? How about putting some work in where it really matters? And eating from the Word of God, eating from the words itself. That's something to consider, something to think about. We've gotten so lax. And that's the way I felt when I talked to my friend. I was just like, man, I live it. I felt guilty because I was the teacher. He was the student. And now he's just blazed by me. Like I was standing still. I felt so ashamed. Why is that? Because I haven't taken these things and said, oh, that's for me. That's for me. This book is for me to study. I got to stop being a Baptist Catholic, a Baptaholic, or a Batholic, or what do you call it? Baptholic. I got to start getting serious about this thing. Time's getting short. So what, are you just going to sit back and drink an umbrella drink and wait for the trumpet to sound? Are we going to take it serious and start putting in some work and be ready to stand before God one day? It's not about, it's about getting the word out. It's about getting the gospel out and telling the truth of Christ to all those that we know and all those we come in contact with during the week. But it's also now about standing before God. You don't know if tomorrow you might be there. Are you ready? Are you ready to show yourself approved unto God and not to be ashamed? I don't want to be. I've taken it as a personal challenge to study and not just read the Word of God. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night.